Thank you, everybody.
I'll keep track of your time.
All right, so I got an extra 40 minutes, he says.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm glad the sun's not out because of the fact that we'd have to have our Eco glasses on. But we'll talk about that later. So anyway, so this is some work that we've been doing in North Dakota for the past 4 years. Maria Brecker was a graduate student who started it, and of course they graduate, so then the faculty member's job to finish. So so in the northern Great Plains, we have a fair size of acres of sodic soils. Those that you can see the darker colors, they're more dominant, and as the color gets lighter, not as many. But I suppose in North Dakota, we probably have between 3 and 6 million acres of sodic soils that are classified as sodic soils. The talk we're going to be looking at today is that little spit of in the county region down where that red circle is. So we'll focus on that today. But I want to note, and I notice that Warren's not here, but Warren Dick is actually from North Dakota. He's from the Langdon area. Other notable people that have worked with gypsum or salts, Jim Oster, who was from Hazen, and then Gene Moss, who did a lot of the slope response curves for crops. He's actually from Jamestown. So for that, I just thought I'd add that noted Cliff Claven information. So one of the things that we've really tried to focus on in North Dakota and try to use the work that everybody else has done as well is to really define what that criteria is where you have swelling and dispersion. And we know that to control dispersion, electrical conductivity is a huge driver in that. So we've looked at a lot of papers, we've done work ourselves, and whether you're talking about exchangeable sodium percentage, which is very, very close to SAR when it's less than 50. And then we've done a lot of work with AgVice, who's here today, looking at the total extractable cations and how that relates to SAR. And it's really about a one-to-one relationship. So our growers who send their samples in can send a normal soil test and get that number as opposed to having a saturated paste done. And it's very difficult to do ESP, as we know, because if you have soluble salts, you really have to get all those salts out or figure a way to do that. So anyway, the criteria that we use for our recommendations, if it's sodic, is if the percent sodium is greater than 5 and the ECE is less than 2. And that's really where we're at with those. So what we wanted to do was sort of look at, okay, if we start applying amendments, how much will we have any impact to the crop? Here we're going to use alfalfa. How long does it take to get that gypsum to move, or that spent lime to move? Or we also try to use langbeinite, which is K-Mag. It doesn't have any calcium in it, but it can keep the electrical conductivity pretty high. So we looked at different rates of application. We looked at two soil series, the Aberdeen and the Ryan. Both of those are classified as natric. Today we're only just going to look at the percent sodium and the electrical conductivity. So we normally just do percent sodium and EC 1:1. But because all of our criteria are based on saturated paste, and we've done a lot of work trying to relate saturated paste and EC 1:1, so I've converted all these to saturated paste EC to make it easier. So we're also going to talk a little bit about the alfalfa, the yield, and then the quality. Because I think that's something that we kind of miss out on a lot in our research is actually looking at food quality. And it's not just quantity, but it's also quality. So we wanted to make sure that all of the amendments that people are interested in using are safe. So the flue gas gypsum that we got is from North Dakota. We do produce that now. I think we get about 300,000 tons a year out west. The spent lime is a byproduct from the sugar beet industry. It's used they add calcium carbonate to the clarifiers to make the stream more clear, and that's a waste product from that. And then the langbeinite we got from Mosaic. So the soils that we were looking at, they were in the same map unit, so this 1552A, but when you oftentimes, because they're in the same map unit, doesn't really mean they're the same soils. So fortunately, they were that way. So we got to look at two different ones. The Ryan that we'll show the profiles next, but the Ryan is this site was non-tiled, and the Aberdeen was tiled. So tiling has been used a lot in North Dakota in recent years to keep the groundwater at bay, if you will. So a lot of farmers are adding that, and they're putting tile into sodic soils, which the concept then would be if you reduce the electrical conductivity, the sodium is going to be more expressed. So that's a large focus of our work. So these the profiles that we're going to look at, and I think that's one of the things that we have to think of, always remember, is that a sodic soil is an acidic soil is an acidic soil. The depth to where that sodic horizon is really where the problem is. Because if we have sodic soils where it's all on the surface, well, that's easy. We can just apply and incorporate. But unfortunately, if we look at this picture, we're down 40, 50 centimeters. So how are you going to get amendments down that far? And that's really one of the major challenges in the Great Plains, is getting that amendment down there. So this is kind of a, no, it's not snow. It's this is some of the stuff. Yeah. It'll be snow tomorrow maybe, but not right now. So another challenge that we have is the fact that we have in our region, we don't get a lot of rainfall, but man, do we get a lot of potential evapotranspiration. So in the western part of our state, we might have 60 inches of PET, but only 12 inches of rain. Whereas in the eastern part, we might get 24 inches of rain, but 50 inches of PET. So that becomes a major problem of moving salt or moving things down through the profile. And so that's a major limitation that we have. Okay, let's just jump right into some data then. So we looked at alfalfa yield for 4 years, and what we noticed was the tile field always did a little bit better, and part of the reason is that it wasn't as saline. So we'll look at that. But we really only saw significant differences in the first 2 years with alfalfa yield, and those occurred with the high rate of KMAG, the langbeinite here. And the reason is that langbeinite has a solubility of about 240 grams per liter. The solubility of gypsum is only 2.2. So it doesn't take much water to increase the EC, and that was one of the reasons we wanted to use langbeinite, was to keep that EC high enough when our sodium was high. So, but for the most part, you know, that first year we put it out there, you know, looked pretty tough. So, but over time, actually last year we had our yields were better on that site, and it was because it was a dry year, and the water table tends to be higher over there, so they were able to tap into that water pretty easy. So. But overall, I think the yields are pretty comparable for any place in eastern North Dakota. So then we look at the forage quality, and so the good news is that whatever we threw at it, the quality was just fine. So everything fit within the parameters that we would have hoped. So we can kind of cross that off the list as a major concern. So if we just focus now on the electrical conductivity, so this is the tiled field, this was the Aberdeen. So the one thing that, here's the control here, the ends of the diamonds are the 95% confidence. And if we just look at the flue gas gypsum, well, the electrical conductivity approached about 5.5 or something like that. So, but it's not uncommon. If you saturate a solution of gypsum, the EC will be 2.2. So that's about as high as you can get a saturated solution of gypsum. So it's not uncommon, or it's not surprising, that if you add that much gypsum and you do an EC, you're going to get a jump, you know, about that far. But for the most part, you know, we didn't see a whole lot of, you know, here's that langbeinite in the tile system really didn't do anything major as far as that's concerned. So if we look at the percent sodium, which again, if you think of about that and SAR being a 1-to-1, this is the 0 to 6 inches. Well, here's the control. The only one that did much were the high rates of flue gas gypsum and the high rate of the spent lime. So remember, spent lime is 35% less soluble than, or the calcium carbonate is 35 times less soluble than gypsum. So you're not going to expect to see a big decrease, if you will, even at those high rates. So let's go to the non-tiled field. So the EC, as I stated before, the EC of that field was pretty high anyway. So they always struggle with getting crops to grow there. They grow a lot of sunflowers, barley, if you will. But the only one that did, that really moved it up, moved the needle a little bit, was that high rate of langbeinite, and that's why we saw the decrease in alfalfa yield those first 2 years. If we look at the percent sodium, then we can see that we were able to decrease that percent sodium, but for the most part, the percent sodium's here, and if we look back with the ECs, everything is above that threshold of where we would think, okay, you better do something. So that's why I think it's better to think about those boundary conditions than it is to just say, well, we need to apply gypsum or we need to apply something. And the hard part is to get farmers to sample deeper than 6 inches or deeper than 12 inches. Because a lot of these sodic horizons are much deeper than that. And I think that's probably true from Kansas to North Dakota, where farmers maybe not sampled as deep as maybe they should for some instances. So in a sort of a summary, the one thing that we're really challenged by is that relationship between rainfall and the potential evapotranspiration. Because as soon as that sun comes out, that water wants to go back up in the atmosphere. So we really struggle with trying to manage that. The rates didn't really hurt the quality or the yield for the most part after 4 years. The one thing you really have to know is when you're going to apply a gypsum or any amendment is like, where do you need to apply it? And even after 4 years, that calcium didn't move deeper than 6 inches. Okay, so we can apply 50 tons per acre. It's not going to make any difference. We just can't get it to move down. So really targeting where you apply that gypsum is really key. And whether you have to develop a slotting system to inject it and then farm on either side of that slot or try some other strategy. But the biggest thing is time, right? Most of our studies are only 2 years or 4 years. Well, we want to run this for 20 years. And AgVice we've been speaking with them about sampling longer term. And that's the problem with a lot of our gypsum studies is that they're just too short. So think long term. And surprisingly, you know, we have an alfalfa study, but our North Dakota Soybean Council have funded this for 4 years because the interest in soils is pretty strong. So we're very, very grateful to them.